American Weekly presents Front Page Drama.
Me? Don't be silly, Chief. I'm an outcast with the ladies of this town. Mrs. North didn't even speak to me.
Ever make a deal with her to buy her husband's set of woodworking tools?
Oh, that. Well, I...
Yeah, you made a deal, then claimed she gypped you. You quarreled bitterly with her several times.
Yeah, but I didn't kill her, Wells. I didn't kill her.
That was just the answer Police Chief Wells had expected to hear from the man he suspected of a brutal murder. And it was his job to prove it false. Listen now to Front Page Drama, brought to you by the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with a leading Sunday newspaper on sale in this city. To the police of a middle western town called Bedford, the murder of Mrs. Catherine North appeared to be an open and shut case. They quickly found a suspect and soon found good scientific evidence to back up their belief. But when they were ready to arrest their man, they discovered that he had an alibi, a most perfect alibi. Several hours after 67-year-old widowed Mrs. North had been murdered in her home, Police Chief Frank Wells and his deputy Bill Brandt were examining the scene of the crime.
Mrs. North must have put up a desperate fight for her life, Bill. Look at the mess in this room.
Yeah, Chief. Before he removed the body, the coroner said there were several broken ribs and she'd been badly beaten. Poor woman. The coroner placed the time of death between midnight and 3 a.m.
Uh-huh.
Killer must have forced his way through that open window there, huh?
Yeah. Bill, I'd like to talk with our neighbor, Mrs. Parker. I saw her in that crowd of curiosity seekers out front there. Call her in, will you?
All right, Chief. Attention. Attention, please. Chief Wells would like Mrs. Parker to step inside a minute. You still here, Mrs. Parker?
Me? Me? Why, of course. Of course.
We'll only keep you a minute. Chief Wells just wants to ask you
a few
questions.
Certainly. Anything I can do. Oh, I say, isn't this just awful? To think such a thing could happen right here in Bedford, right next door to my house. I was talking to poor Mrs. North only last evening, and she was... Oh, hello, Chief Wells.
Mrs. Parker.
Just look at this house. Isn't it a mess? I was always afraid...
Mrs. Parker, I want to ask you a few questions.
Oh, anything. Good heavens, just wait till Roy hears about this. Roy's my husband, you know. I wonder
why... Mrs. Parker, you and Mrs. North were pretty good neighbors, weren't you?
Never had any trouble in all the 18 years we lived next door. I was saying to Roy just the other night...
Yes, now, Mrs. Parker, do you know of any enemies that Mrs. North might have had? People who you...
Mrs. North? Enemies? Why, a kinder soul never breathed on this earth. She was always helping other people. She put up jellies and jam and gave them to her friends. Why, only last week she... Oh, Chief Wells.
What, Mrs. Parker?
Mrs. North did have a little trouble not long ago with that awful Perry Lamphere who lives back of the North property.
Perry Lamphere?
What did Mrs. North have to do with Perry Lamphere?
Well, it seems he remembered a set of woodworking tools that Mr. North had when he was alive.
Yes?
Well, he wanted to buy them for Mrs. North, and she said she'd never use them again, and so why not sell them? So they agreed on a price.
I see.
And Mrs. North had the tools delivered around to Lamphere's house the next evening. But he came storming here, and he said that she had not turned over all the tools he'd bought from her. And she claimed she had. And as a result, they had several bitter quarrels.
Mm-hmm.
I remember poor Mrs. North saying she wished she'd never had anything to do with that horrible Perry Lamphere.
Is that all, Mrs. Parker?
Well, yes, I guess that's all. Except that old Mrs. North was very firm, and she said Lamphere had nothing more coming to him.
Well, very well, Mrs. Parker. That'll be all for now.
Oh, what a line of chatter that gal's got.
She sure is gabby. But she's also right about Lamphere. Horrible, she said. And he's that all right. He's got a record, you know.
Mm-hmm.
2 years in the state pen. Bill?
Yeah?
Tell you what to do. Call fingerprinting. Get the boys up here to take some prints. I'll see you back at the station.
Oh, where are you bound, Chief?
I'm going around the block and pay a little call on Mr. Lamphere. I want him to explain his whereabouts between midnight and 3 o'clock this morning.
In Encouraged with the information Mrs. Parker supplied about the dead woman's bitter quarrels with Perry Lamphere, Chief Wells quickly made his way to the home of this unsavory character, whom he already considered a suspect. Listen in just a moment when we bring you the climax to this front page drama. I Swallowed the Atom. Read it Sunday in the October 11th issue of the American Weekly, the dramatic first-hand story of a dying man who volunteered as a medical guinea pig, who swallowed a radioactive solution so powerful that his nurses had to wear Geiger counters, and who found that the deadly atom can be a lifesaver. It's a fascinating story of human courage and medical progress that you won't want to miss. I Swallowed the Atom, in the October 11th issue of the American Weekly, the magazine distributed with the leading Sunday newspaper on sale in this city. And now, back to our front page drama. Police Chief Wells approached the front door of the home where Perry Lamphere lived alone. Piano music could be heard from within as the chief called.
You there, Lamphere?
Yeah! Come in. Screen door's open. Well, Chief of Police. You like music? Have a seat, won't you? It's a little pastime I have, playing piano. I learned when I was a kid. I got a lot of practice those 2 years I was away. I led the prison orchestra. Now, one of the boys
told me that... And the biography. And the music, too. I know all I want to know about your past. Now I want to know where you were between midnight and 3 o'clock this morning.
At the Willoughby Manufacturing Company, making my rounds as night watchman. The only lousy job I can get in this town.
What proof have you got?
The time clock I have to punch every hour from 10 o'clock till 6 in the morning. Enough proof, Mr. Wells? You can leave any time you want to, Mr. Wells.
Shut up, Lamphere. You're still on parole, and you'll answer all the questions I care to ask. Now, in case the news hasn't traveled over your back fence, your neighbor, Mrs. North, was murdered last night.
Why, who'd want to harm old Mrs. North?
Yeah, that's the big question. Ever have any trouble with her?
Me? Now, don't be silly, Chief. I'm an outcast for the ladies of this town. Mrs. North didn't even speak to me.
Ever make a deal with her to buy her husband's set of woodworking tools?
Oh, that. Well, I...
You made a deal, then claimed she gypped you. You quarreled bitterly with her several times.
But I didn't kill her, Wells. I didn't kill her. Well, now I see it's time to keep an appointment with the barber. A man has to keep up appearance these days. If you need me, I'll be punching that old time clock every night, every hour. Just like I did last night.
Back at headquarters, Chief Wells learned from Deputy Bill Brandt that the fresh fingerprints taken at the murdered woman's home matched those in the file of Perry Lamphere. And he further matched strands of hair found in the dead woman's home with those cut by the barber where Lamphere went for his haircut. The two men were discussing these developments.
He'll claim the fingerprints and the hair were there from other visits. Lamphere is undoubtedly the killer, Bill, but... Well, we'd be laughed out of court if we made an arrest in view of that time clock alibi.
Those dry runs we made proved, even at high speed, that he couldn't have left the factory, killed Mrs. North, and returned all within an hour. I asked around the factory, thinking somebody might have punched the clock for him. The fellows who work at night dislike him and said no one would have done him that favor.
Which puts us right back to where we started, back with Mrs. Parker. Let's take a run out and see the old girl, Bill.
As usual, Mrs. Parker was plenty willing to talk as the two policemen found her raking leaves on her front lawn.
Well, if Perry Lamphere's fingerprints and strands of hair match those found in Mrs. North's house, what are you waiting for, Chief Wells? Why isn't he behind bars?
Now, don't you see, ma'am, he's got a perfect alibi in having punched that time clock at the factory. He couldn't possibly have been in two places at one time.
I know, but an innocent woman has gone to her grave while he's allowed to go... Chief Wells.
Yes, ma'am?
Does Perry Lamphere work at the factory every night of the week?
Yes, 7 nights a week. Why do you ask?
Well, because one night, 3 or 4 months ago, Roy, that's my husband, Roy and I stopped at Weigel's Tavern for a sandwich. It was after midnight.
The second important bit of information which Mrs. Parker divulged set the two policemen on a trail of investigation which concluded that evening as they approached the home of Perry Lamphere, who sat alone playing the piano.
Lamphere!
Oh, come in!
Well, the chief of police again. You brought a friend, huh? Right, be seated.
Put your hands up, Lamphere.
What for?
On your feet, Lamphere. Handcuffs, Brandt.
With pleasure, chief.
As a citizen, I demand
As
to know...
As a citizen? As a killer, Lamphere. You're under arrest for the murder of Mrs. North.
I didn't kill her, I tell you. I was at the factory. My time card proved that
I... Time card was punched every hour on the hour, all right. An ingenious attachment that moved gears inside the clock made it possible for you to change the hands and punch whatever time you wanted to on that card. An expert examined the machine at the factory this afternoon and discovered your clever gimmick.
I don't know what you're talking about. I haven't missed a night's work since I started at the factory. Now, I can
sure,
prove that I was...
Sure. All of your hours are recorded on your time cards, aren't they, Perry? What about the hours you spent drinking and playing piano out at Weigel's Tavern when you should have been working?
Who said I was ever at Weigel's when I should have been at the factory?
One of your neighbor ladies, Lamphere, said you were in high old spirits and winked at her husband when he questioned you about working in two jobs. You said you were collecting double pay that night.
Who said so? That's a lie. It's a lie.
Well, never mind who said so, but thank heaven she did. Now, my guess is that you went over to steal from the old woman to even the score on the woodworking tools. You didn't expect her to hear you, and you knew that a thievery charge would put you back in prison. Once she recognized you rifling her house, you had to get rid of her. Am I right, Lamphere?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No, I didn't think you would. Well, better say goodbye to your house, your piano. The place you're going to doesn't have any time clocks either. But there is a mechanical contraption that you won't be able to gimmick, Lamphere. Ever hear of the electric chair?
Police Chief Wells' words were prophetic, for Perry Lamphere was convicted of the murder of Mrs. North and died some months later in the electric chair. The end of a strange story, and a true story, for this has been another front page drama. Naturally, real names have not been used. Coming Sunday, an expert's answer to our alarming crime rate. In the October 11th issue of the American Weekly, an outstanding American jurist examines the problem of our youthful first offenders, who all too often end up as hardened criminals. How can society reclaim the first offender as a useful citizen, prevent him from going on to a career of crime? You'll find out when you read this challenging article titled Pity the First Offender in the October 11th issue of the American Weekly, a magazine distributed with a leading Sunday newspaper on sale in this city.